All right. The Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen. Now let's quickly get into our teaching for today. We're going to start by reading from the book of Galatians chapter 5. What I want to do beginning from today, we are still on our faith basic series. We have finished this first 10 of the messages. And today I want to begin a subsection of the teaching on faith basics. I want to talk about how to increase your faith. And for those of you who might be interested, most of the things I'm going to say, well, the Holy Spirit leads differently sometimes. You can find in the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. All right? And if you have not read that book, I will recommend you read it. It was my favorite, in my own opinion, my best work until How to Work for God. So How to Work for God is now number one. Great Faith Can Be Yours, in my assessment, is number two. And the popular vote is choice is key to destiny, that remains number one. I know that. But personally, I think How to Work for God is, to me, is the most interesting read of all of them. But anyway, I'm recommending once again that everybody get a copy of Great Faith Can Be Yours. And some of the things you will read, some of the things you will read in there, you will see me explain them further today. And then, of course, previous teachings that we have had on faith, one way or the other. All right. So this sub section of faith basics, I'm going to talk about how to increase your faith. Okay, the book of Galatians chapter 5 is where I'm going to start today. Or let's first of all read from Genesis chapter 8. Open Galatians chapter 5, keep a finger there, and quickly go to these very popular portions of the verse of scripture, verses, very, very famous in Christianity of today. When I read it, you'll see the one I'm talking about. Verse 22 of Genesis chapter 8. That this was a commandment that God gave, or a declaration that he made after Noah came out from the ark, and then he offered an offering unto the Lord. And the Bible says that God said in verse 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." My emphasis, the first two lines, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest." The last line, shall not cease. Now, there's a reason why I read that, and the reason is because it's a fundamental principle of life. Life has seasons. If you go and read Ecclesiastes, he said it, there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born, and then there is a time to die. Among the seasons, he will tell you there is a seed time, there's a time to sow, and then there's a time to harvest that which was sown. Now, please, I want you to understand that principle very well. Most of the things you are desiring in life, they are fruits. Do you get my point? What you do, what God gives to you as wisdom, is to know the right seeds to sow so that you will get the fruits that you desire. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something I always say, and why I say that thing a lot, I don't think I enjoy criticizing, just that I want you not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes when people don't understand these principles, we misapply them. People now say that if you want money, you sow money. I'll explain some things about it just now. I'm not going to go into details about that. The reason is because what I want to say about it is that everything has a proper field. There are different fields in life. Are you getting my point? You cannot, this is wisdom I'm telling you now, this is wisdom. You must know what to sow into where to reap the proper harvest. People say that if you want money, go and give out money. That is not true. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that because the sowing of money must be into a financial field. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? If you want to talk about seed time and harvest, as far as money is concerned, it must be into a financial field. So, if I'm a businessman, if I want money, I go and invest in my business. That's the field for money. Are you getting my point? Giving somebody else, or giving a preacher, or giving the work of God, or giving somebody in need money, do you follow my point? Does not make money a seed. The reason being that that is a spiritual field you are sowing into. And money is not a seed in the realm of the spirit. Love is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Favor is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Kindness is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting my point? Honor is a seed in the realm of the spirit. Therefore, if you come and say, "Pastor Banky, you're a man of God, I want to sow into your life, and you give me maybe 10,000 naira, and you're expecting a harvest of 100,000, I will eat your money and you won't get anything." Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you are afraid. Say amen if you heard me. Amen. You are calculating all the amount of money you have sown. Yeah, you lost it. Better hear it now so that you stop wasting money. If you want to give money to a man of God, do it out of honor. Do you get my point? Therefore, if you show me honor, if you show me respect, all right? If you show that because of the office that I occupy, not because I'm somebody you just like to, you know, just like to love. No. It's like, okay, this is a minister of the word. And because of that, Jesus said like this, if you go to a prophet because he's a prophet, did you notice that? Not because you are lacking. We must understand this. What we Christians like to do is to give to a prophet because we are in need. The Bible never said that. It said if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, then you get a prophet's reward. People misunderstand this principle of seed time and harvest. They sow the right seeds into the wrong fields. All right? Giving is good, but giving money is not a seed when you give. What is a seed when you give is the act, the spirit behind the giving. So if I see a man who is in need, or I see a young boy who is lacking, and I say, okay, you want to do ask, all right, you can't pay the fees. Here is 20,000 naira, go and sort your fees out. What I have given him is love. Are you getting my point? It is not cash. Physical cash is not a seed into the realm of the spirit. What I gave that young boy is love. Are you getting my point? And that is the one that God sees. Therefore, when you give because you want to get, you have given selfishness into the realm of the spirit and you get nothing. You hear what I said? You see, I know I've said this in 20,000 times, but I need another 45,000 times to say it enough so that people, you hear it, and others who are listening to me either on TV or radio or CD, internet, will hear it also. All right? Because people say things that are not true a lot. The truth is that every seed has its own field. Corn, you know corn. What rice is Oriza sativa. What is corn again? Anyway, Z-maize, yes, Z-maize, all right? You see, manihot utilissima, all kinds of things. Those things respect only one field. That is the soil, the physical soil of the earth. You cannot throw yam into the clouds and expect to harvest yam. It will fall on your head and you harvest concussion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, that is true. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you want to sow yam, what do you go do? You go to the field, you cultivate the field, you till the land, you plant yam into the land, and you nurture it. After 9 months, you come back and you will have you will harvest bigger tubers of yam than what you sowed. That's just the way it works. So if you need more yam, don't give me yam. Don't give your neighbor yam. That's not what produces more yam. If you need more money, don't give me money. Don't give Kingdom World Ministries money. Don't give any preacher money. Don't give somebody who is poor money. What do you do? You go and give your money to a bank, hope that by the time they finish their charges, there'll still be something left. Nigerian banks are very good at it, all right? This is what I mean. Am I saying you shouldn't give to people? I didn't say that. You know, I know I'm repeating myself, but I just like to say it again and again. I'm correcting the motive. I'm correcting the motive. If you see me and say, oh, this man has been such a blessing, how can I be so blessed? I will not give him anything. Then that's the right motive. Because Bible says that if I sow spiritual seed into you, I should reap part of your material harvest also. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's the way it works. If you look at a young man, your neighbor who is hungry, you know these people don't have food to eat, and you take out of the little you have and you share with them, that is love, that is kindness. You must do that. That's Christianity. You should do it. Stop eating all your money alone. I mean, you go to university, your father is well-to-do, he supplies you very well with money, all right? And you think it's your duty now to go to school and be wearing expensive clothes and expensive shoes. May they steal those shoes 2 days after you buy them in the name of Jesus Christ, when you have not yet given to somebody who doesn't have anything at all. God doesn't give you money to show off. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
God never gives anybody money to show off. He gives you money for 2 things. 1, to enjoy. 2, to do good. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you go to school before at the beginning of the month, your father don't wire you 20K. There's a lot of money. Most people who work don't earn that amount of money, and you're a bloody student. So what do? When you get to school, all right, you're in a fellowship. It's good. Christians should be in fellowship on campus. Don't stop staying alone. All right? Go to fellowship. And that same fellowship, there are those that they just manage to come to school. Some don't have fathers at all to help them. All right? You know, things like that. You don't have to, you just show up. You know, you stylishly help the person. Stylishly say, I'm going to the market. Why don't you escort me? You really are not going to the market. You are dragging him to the market. Ah, bro, let's go to the market now. I want to buy one or two things. Oh, okay, because of that, go and buy a pair of socks. And I say, do you like that shirt? Is it not fine? Buy him one. That 20K your father sent you, share it into two for this month. Give to somebody else. Not because you want. That is absolute nonsense. It is selfishness. It is ungodliness. I don't care who preaches it. Christians are not supposed to give because they want. Christians give because, we're going to discuss this again today, there is a spirit of Christ in them. For God so loved that he gave, alright, his only begotten son, that they might not perish, but they might have everlasting life. Kindness is part of the spirit of Christ. It's part of Christianity. And we must sow kindness. You can't have money and be rich. You know, some people, I used to say, jokingly, that a lot of people who write, you listen to us on radio those days. They just assume that this guy don't chop belly full. He don't know what he will take money do again. And so he began to put it on radio. So they will write, please, Pastor Banky, I have not gone to school. I need money. When I get the mail, I delete it before he finishes landing or tear the paper if it's letter you wrote. You're a rogue. You have not asked how I'm paying Cosmo FM. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that so if you have the means, you sit down at home, you are listening to the message, you ask yourself a question. How is this thing being paid for? There are a lot of people, I don't know how they get my number. Some people send me text messages or send us email. Ah, man of God, you know, use another radio station. Now, if you send that kind of rubbish mail in Enugu, I won't answer you. If you're in Enugu, come down to here. It's not free. Apart from bringing a Bible, gate fee here is what? It's free. Yes. What I'm saying, a lot of people are asking, give us more, give us more, give us more. They don't know that the one they got already costs money. And godliness is that you will say, I may not have ₦1,000,000 to give these people. Here is my ₦500. It will go a long way in supporting what is going on. That's how Christians think. But we preachers, we have messed everything up. We have encouraged stupidity and ungodliness amongst our brethren. They are only giving to tap anointing. I've told you several times, Christians don't give to tap anointing. Only sorcerers give to tap anointing. It's in the Bible. Only people who practice witchcraft give to tap anointing. If you want to give to a man of God, you give to a man of God. Do you know why? Because he's a prophet. That's what the Bible says. Simon the sorcerer is the only guy who tried to do that. You need to have your brains corrected, Christians. Let's start doing the right works for the right reasons. I've gotten carried away. Let me get back to my message. What am I explaining? This is a basic principle of life. There is seed time and there is harvest. I was just going on to explain something that there are different kinds of fields in life. You know, we're talking about different kinds of spheres to live in. Now let's talk about fields. There are different kinds of fields in life. And when you want to sow, you must know the proper seed to sow into the proper field. This is what I started pointing out. Most of the things we want in life are actually fruit for the proper seeds that are sown. Some of the fundamentals of Christianity, you must understand that. I like the way Ecclesiastes said it. So how do you do as Christians? Let me say this again. Some of these things, I don't have said them before, but I have to keep saying them. People say that if you want this, you give this. I say, no, it doesn't work in Christianity. You know why? Because you don't know what the seed in your hand, even though it's properly sown, you don't know what it will bring forth materially. Let me explain what I say. If you want mercy, you show mercy. That is correct. That's what Jesus said. How do you show mercy? There are different ways. Mercy can be helping an old man find his way at night. Mercy can be giving somebody who's hungry money. Mercy can be somebody who's owing you money, he know he can't pay, so he tell, okay, forget it. Mercy can be something that is due you, you refuse to take it, that somebody else might be blessed. That is mercy. But all you know is that you will get mercy. How your own mercy will come, you will not be able to tell ahead of time. Your mercy may come in the day, because see, listen, there are destinies. You know, let me use that word like that. A lot of things are destined, people's lives are destined concerning. There are many things that control people's destinies. One of them is the plan of God. The second one is the previous behaviors of the generations before that you have tapped into by your own personal behavior, and they've shaped where your life is supposed to go. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So part of what could be somebody's destiny is that on this particular day you are going to have a ghastly accident. It's going to break both of your arms and both of your legs. I'm serious about what I'm saying. And if you have not been careful, you see, you understand what the Bible means when it says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment, some many things that could have led to it. I'm not discussing those in details now, because in the life of the believer, Christians, all right, if you walk totally by faith in God, they are delivered automatically from those things. But sometimes, because you see, there's what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren. He's still accusing day and night. Sometimes by our works, is that okay? We give him the right to accuse so that even Jesus can't do anything about his accusation. We do that. We can tempt God so much that we limit the Holy One of Israel. We do that. One of the things that God uses at such times, I'm not going to those things in details. I'm just going to explain the issue of the principle of mercy. One of the things that God does at such times is that when you have shown mercy, he therefore, you have liberated mercy in your own favor. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So that day, your mercy will be deliverance from that death. You showed mercy giving money, but your own mercy, when it's going to come back, is coming back as something else. I read a story, Kenneth Hagin described how God showed him, I'm giving my own words now, mercy in a greater outpouring of the anointing upon his life. Because if you are doing anything in life, you want that thing to increase. If you're a preacher, you are praying every day for an increase in anointing. He showed mercy to a man who stopped by in his church one day. He didn't know the man was coming. So when the man was leaving, the Holy Spirit whispered to him, give him this amount of money. He said, I don't even have that amount of money myself. Well, that was all he had. So he packed all the money grudgingly, complainingly, but he obeyed and gave to the man. And when God was going to reward him for that act of mercy, what he did was that he poured a greater grace upon him so that he raised somebody virtually from the dead. And the Holy Spirit said, that is reward for, you see, we are, stupidity and ignorance is what makes us think that our reward must always be for our own benefit. Are you getting my point? The Bible said he makes all grace abound towards you so that all you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to what? Every good work. He said he that ministers seed to the sower and bread to the eater will both supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What does he do? He multiplies your ability to do more good. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, you really can't tell. So Solomon said in the Ecclesiastes chapter 11, all right, verse 6, he says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. Now, there's a principle here. The principle is that we don't know exactly which seed will produce. Therefore, what do? We continually do that which is good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Therefore, I preach a message which I call the switch of God's power. And the summary of it is the continual doing of good works is the seed of God's power. Listen, let nobody lie to you because it is not possible. The person may not be trying to deceive you, he doesn't know himself. That you can take this money and say, this money is towards my house. There's nothing like that in Christianity. You can't take this money and say, this money, I'm giving it towards my car. It does not work. I will say it so much that even if you don't believe me, you will doubt the opposite. You know, there are two. I will make you doubt what is wrong. Unless I want to do it, the voice will be telling you, Banky warned you that it does not work like this. Banky has warned you. Alright? Are you getting what I'm saying? So what do you do as a believer? You continually do good works. So what about when I need something? People say, the key to receiving is giving. I said, the Bible never said so. The key to receiving, Jesus said, is what? Asking. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, you get what I'm saying? So when you have a need, go and ask. There's a kind of house I've asked God for. Why I have not demanded it of him yet is because I don't know where I want to live yet, finally. I'm in Enugu now. I wasn't born here, you know that. I came here about 10 years ago. 5 years may come, and he said, there used to be one man of God in this town. He has gone now. So, I'm learning. Let me brag as if I have learned. I am learning. To a large extent, I'm trying, not to build any permanent tabernacle on the earth in my heart. Do you understand my point? He will say, you need landed property. Listen, you need your heart landed in God. You don't need landed property is good. That is not good. You don't need it. It's good. You have nice suits, it's good. But you can live without them. Look, I pray that we enter into the real thing called Christianity. The time will come when we have thoroughly understood God. You will look at the house and say, I like this kind of house. All right, I should start living in this kind of house in the next 3 months. And that's it. In fact, you will not be surprised. Other people will be surprised that kind of house is automatically yours in 3 months. And you live in it for about a year and a half and you get tired. Say, I don't like this kind of house again. And God will not be angry. Because he has come to understand. No, he knows you have come to understand that it's nothing. It's just material things. So you use them today. You throw them away tomorrow. You don't hold on to it. This is the house that my great-grandfather left for my grandfather. And my grandfather has left for me. My wife and I today were watching the story of Timbuktu on BBC World. And I said, my God, there is nothing permanent materially in this life. Yes, it was a great city. Now, Timbuktu is now a historical village, if you understand what I'm explaining. That's the way life is. Is that okay? Let's not sit on those things, all right? I just want to explain the fact that, all right, you will get to a point in life. Once you have understood that thing, God will let you have anything, anytime. The problem right now is that he knows that if I give you this, it will become an idol. You go to worship. Are the material things that he dashed you, so he's holding them back. So he said, just develop spiritually. You will get to a point where you do like this. I used to ask myself those days. I said, if Jesus was on the earth today, which car will he drive? I said, none and all. You will never find a car with the registration name, Jesus Christ Ministries on it. You won't find it. But today you will see him. He will be in a Lamborghini. The following day, they will fly him in a private jet. The day after that, you will find him at the back of Okada. With a crash helmet on his head. Believe me. And there are times you say that the meeting place is not too far. Boys, let us trek. Yes. That's what he would have been like. Do you follow the principle there? Alright? So please, I'm just explaining some principles. I hope I don't get too carried away by all these side gist. I hope you learn something from them anyway. That's why we come here on Saturdays. Alright? We'll keep on learning here and there. Put everything together. Alright? At the end of the day, we go away with our main message for the day. So, I was saying, so you find out that when we are so, how do we sow the proper seeds? Since we don't know exactly what which seed we produce, we just learn how to sow seeds. Are you getting my point? And we continually sow seeds. Continually. That's why I preach in that message. You can go and get that message if you can. The switch of God's power. I said, the switch of God's power is a continual doing of good works. You do them continually. Like Wale Oke preached once where in a place where I was, he said, those that do the things that count, don't stop to count them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're able to count the kind of joke we crack these days in Christianity, hey, I gave this, God, you will reward me. You've just lost the reward for every single one of those things you named. Did you hear what I said? Yes, let me say it again. If you're able to stand and start counting, God, you know, last year, 15th of June, this is a check. I still have the stub here. All right, it was 25,000 I gave towards that mission work. The following week, I gave 16,000 towards this. And then I did this. Once you count like that, as you are counting it, they are losing their potency. As it's coming out from your mouth, the reward is being is withering away. Hey, some people, they fear as they talk. So say, God, all the investment I made into the realm of the spirit, Hafa, that is why you came here today. This is part of the fruit of your investment. Amen. That is to liberate you from wrong practices. No, Christians, what do? We continually do good works. I've taken a lot of time to explain that principle again. What I was saying is that is a fundamental principle of life. Most of the things you want in life, they are fruits. Is that okay? They are rewards. But what God gives into your hands is the ability to sow the right seeds. And I said that most times you don't know which seed is going to do what, but you know the right seeds to sow in life. What they will produce for you, you may not be able to put your hand specifically on them. All right? Let me give you an example. No, so let me put it like this. Some, God will have given you us an idea of what it produces. For example, he will say, honor your father and your mother. That one produces what? Long life. If a young man is chasing you, and he hangs up his phone on his father when his father is talking, say, don't mind my father. Don't marry him. He will die young. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just marry him. You will be a widow early in life. He has no respect for authority. No respect for authority. Just looking like this, eh? I want to pray about this relationship. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. The spirit of widowhood, I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Primarily honoring your father and your mother, also standing for respect for authority. Do you get my point? In life, is one of the seeds that we at least we know what it produces. Long life. Are you getting my point? The opposite, that is dishonor, produces both poverty and a short life. This is the annoying part about this life. Some of these, our fathers, in quote, are very difficult to honor. Are you getting my point? You have enough reasons to be angry. Yes, you have a lot of reasons, but you are not justified to be angry. Let me leave that one there. Just giving us ideas. So you want long life, there are seeds for long life. All right? You want prosperity, there are seeds for prosperity, which does not include selfish giving. Amen? Yes. Honesty and truthfulness, they are more potent seeds for prosperity than financial seeds. To be a man of truth, to be a woman of integrity. Are you getting my point? Those things produce more power towards financial prosperity than selfish giving. I don't want to go over that. Anytime I get there, I get stuck. Yeah, I get stuck. Because I hear it all the time. I always get stuck. So I will drag myself out of that mud. Let me go into my main message. I read that to lay a foundation for, you know, we're talking about how to increase your faith, right? Okay. Actually, the main place I was going, Galatians chapter 5. And also we read Romans chapter 8. Let's start from Galatians chapter 5. Please, you've gotten what I've said so far. If you understood it, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, that is, virtually everything we desire in life is a fruit for sowing the right seeds. Now, let's begin, therefore, to read from this Galatians chapter 5. I'll read a number of scriptures. Because of time, we'll rush through it a bit. Let's start from verse 13. It said, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Those are some of the fundamental commandments that Jesus gave his disciples. By this he said, "The world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And he said, "But through love serve one another. For the whole law," verse 14, "is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another." Now, this is our emphasis from verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Now, this is a problem in Christianity. The flesh, he says in verse 17, sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. "For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." That is, there are many more things. "Of which I forewarn you," even Christians, that's what people is talking to, "just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, whether they are Christians or not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He said, against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, please, there's one more scripture in this cell I want to read. Just quickly go down to verse 6. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Please notice this. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. My emphasis is verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. He said, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Now, please, just look up. I finished reading this long portion. We'll read Romans chapter 8 in a while, but let them just explain why I read this. I brought this one out to bring out an issue that life has different fields. No, to emphasize, I said it earlier. Now, this was a scripture that was a bit difficult for me to understand many years ago. It's in modern times when I began to read again that the Lord helped me to see this thing. He said, the fruit of the Spirit. People have said different things about that, but let me give you my own thoughts today, which I actually believe that is quite correct, because I've heard all the other things, and then when I saw this one, I said, no, this is the correct thing. It says fruit. People have said that this is what the recreated human spirit, the Spirit of Christ in you, brings forth. No, that's not what he said. The Spirit here refers to a force field. You know, I said something earlier. That there are financial markets. We sow money into them. From there, we can reap more money. Is that okay? That's a field. I said there's a physical earth. It's a field. We sow corn into it. From it, we can reap more corn. Do you understand the point? Now, there is a field called the Spirit, which if we sow to that Spirit, are you getting my point? It produces a kind of harvest. That's why I read that Galatians chapter 6. He said, he that sows to his own flesh, your flesh is a field. It produces for you corruption. He said, but he that sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. That is, there is an act of sowing into a particular kind of force field, which is called the Spirit. Are you getting my point? And the job of Christians is to constantly sow seeds into the Spirit. Let me say it again. I'm saying this again because Christians these days, we have heard so much about, we think the only seed there is money. There's one scripture we like to abnormally apply. So money answereth all things. So you just sow money towards everything. I've explained to you already that when you are handling money, money in itself doesn't have any character. It is the heart of the person handling it that gives it character. Are you getting my point? So if I handle money to sow, the money itself is nothing. It is the heart behind the sowing of that cash that's actually the real seed I'm putting out in there. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now when we use the word flesh here, please let me also explain something as opposed to that word spirit. Both of them are referring actually to spiritual realms. But when he uses the word spirit, it's referring to, let me put it like this, the good side, that is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the first field that God has left for the Christians to put seed into so that good may come towards them. And when he uses the word flesh, he's talking about this first field of this world, which is dominated by Satan, which when you put things into it, it only produces for you death. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that what you sow into the flesh are actually also spiritual tangibilities. Let me put it like that. For example, if a man is a wicked person, if a man is selfish, what he's doing is that he's sowing to his own flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why it's like that is this. The flesh has, let me quickly introduce this principle or explain something here. God, there are some things that from creation, all right, they are innate, they are native to the human nature. All right? For example, this desire to preserve yourself. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, how you know is that just look at children. Children don't know how to do anything good. They are taught every single act of good. Every single one. You think children know how to give? No. They saw you give. So, you know, you give a child something. After he has observed it a number of times, next time you tell him, give me now, he copies that which he saw you do previously. Otherwise, he only lives for himself. The only good thing in the heart of a child is what the parents put in there. The Bible says clearly, foolishness was wrapped, bound, sealed, screwed down into the heart of a child. Now, I'm using that to bring out the word flesh. So there are things that are natural to people. And those are the things that the Bible calls flesh. Let me explain this thing again. He that sows to the flesh, a lot of our cultures, they sow to the flesh. And what's been happening is that from the flesh, they have been reaping what? Corruption. That's why I've been warning Christians every time I preach, stop saying this is how it is in our place. That is arrant rubbish, nonsense. Ungodliness being uttered. You must say, how did God say it must be done? That's it. How it is in my place often is nothing but sowing to the flesh. And what happens is that from the flesh, we start reaping what? Corruption. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, every place on earth has, they have cultures. Nigeria has maybe 10,000, I don't know, I'm just joking by that, all right? Different tribes. Everyone with his culture. Every culture, everyone produces a result. And oftentimes, it's corruption. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is how it is with Christianity. Even though you have been saved and your past has been washed away, you must stop sowing seeds to the flesh. Because it's what you sow to the flesh. You see, there's something about God. Even though he made things, he said, God, this also I have discovered, Solomon said, that God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. Once we seek out too many devices, we hinder the hand of God concerning what he wants to do in our lives. So no matter how anointed you are, no matter how called you are, and this is interesting about God, he's one person that your gifts and callings and your anointing does not impress. He will look at a man, a woman that's so heavily anointed and kill him at 12 noon in the prime of his life, and everybody will be wondering, why? And God doesn't even tell me. He anointed Moses and he tried to kill him. So what's the big deal? You not seen it? The first serious attempt on Moses' life was by God himself. Why? He did not circumcise his son. And God, let me tell you something. You know, God is love. They don't ever preach as if God is an angry father. He is not an angry father until you annoy him. That's what I preach. And when he's angry, you had better repent. Because the Bible says he's slow to anger. You know the quick vex. Some of us, you know, God is helping us. We know the quick vex again. With the quick vex. So we can quick change our mind. But God, very slow to anger. But when he gets angry, in fact, when he kills his own children, it's mercy. That if I deal with this guy the way I deal with unbelievers. So to prevent dealing with him, Michael, give me his head on a platter of gold. And that's mercy. Christians, let me say this. I'm talking about, all right? I'm also talking about how to build up our faith, but this is the introduction to it. Let's quickly go back to that walk of the flesh. These are the things we use to sow our seeds into the realm of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, all those things. He said, for these things I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. Paul said, I warned you before, I am warning you again, that anyone who practices such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I hope you hear what I said. I hope you hear what I said. I was in Onitsha last week to preach at a convention talking about giving wings to your destiny. I told them, don't worry about your destiny. Worry about your character.